In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Lady Mount Carmel, St. Joseph, St. Ignatius, St. Therese, St. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, all God's angels and saints, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, good evening. Yesterday we spent a good block of our time giving you literary references to help you to really go deeper into the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I divided this literature into literary genre, which would be ecclesiastical documents. Then you might call it Catholic devotional literature. So I'd like to briefly go through that, then we'll move into another topic. I mentioned the fact that if you want to get to know the Mass, it's important to do good, solid reading. And first I mentioned the greatest writing of John Paul II, which is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, published under the auspices of Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI Emeritus, presents the Creed, the sacraments, moral theology, and then on prayer. So if you go into the part on the sacraments, you'll be able to read a very clear, concise explanation of the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. So I'm giving you a side only second from the Bible itself, one of the most authoritative documents you have in the Catholic Church, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. All right. Related to that, I mentioned Vatican II. Vatican II, I mentioned what are called the dogmatic constitutions, which are the four pillars of the modern church. These dogmatic constitutions would be De Verbum, which explains the Bible, how to use the Bible. Then you've got Gaudium et Spes, the problems that the Church has to confront in the modern world. Problems with the family, problems with atheism, problems with dogmatic atheism and practical atheism. And then you have Lumen Gentium, which is possibly the greatest of all the documents of Vatican II. But the one that is pertinent to us is Sacro Sanctum Concilium. That's a document on the liturgy. The Mass, the liturgy of the hours also. And maybe some of you pray. Then from that we mention Paul the Sixth's Mysterium Fidei. And from that we moved on to Pope John Paul II, who wrote Ecclesia Eucharistia, which means the Eucharist in the context of the Church. Then the last document that he made reference to was Pope Benedict XVI. And that document is Sacramentum Caritatis, the Sacrament of Charity. And they gave you a few ideas from each of these documents. One of the ideas that I spoke about was Pope Benedict XVI says that when we as priests celebrate weddings as well as funerals, that we should give a brief catechesis to the people before we give the Eucharist. And I told you the way I usually do it, giving a brief catechesis so that people will not come up and receive the Eucharist when they should not be. Or, worse yet, walk away with the Eucharist, which sometimes happens. So I mentioned that document, Sacramenta Caritatis. Then I mentioned some books that are more of the literary genre of pious spiritual reading, and I mentioned The Imitation of Christ. And I mentioned another one, which is The Diary of Saint Faustina Kowalska, and I mentioned the last part of the diary. Saint Faustina writes the way that she would prepare herself to receive the Eucharist, the way a bride prepares herself for her wedding day. Pretty beautiful. As a bride prepares herself for that most important day in her life, so Jesus wants us to prepare our soul, because Christ is our mystical spouse, to receive Him with even greater love. Okay, I'd like to mention one more piece of literature, and then we can move into another topic. Say, over the past maybe 12, 13 years, there's a book that's becoming very popular among pious Catholics that love the Eucharist as well as they love the priesthood. The name of that book is In Sino Gesù. Maybe some of you have heard of it. Okay? Have any of you heard of that? How many have heard of that, In Sino Gesù? Okay, that not too many. So I'd like to just summarize that, because I really feel if you read that book attentively, you're going to fall in love with the Mass, the Blessed Sacrament, as well as the priesthood. Falling in love with the Mass, the Blessed Sacrament, and the priesthood. And to be honest, they're all related, really. Because if you don't have a priest, you don't have the Mass. If you don't have the Mass, you don't have the Blessed Sacrament. So the three are interconnected. So those who do not have that text, I invite you maybe to try to purchase it. It's Latin, Insigno, I-N-S-I-N-U, Jesu. You just Google it in, and I really feel if you buy that and you read through it, that's going to really enhance your love for the Mass, the Eucharist, as well as the priesthood. Okay, this is the origin of it. Most of you know about how we got the Diary of St. Faustina. If not, I'll tell you. Okay? We have this Polish nun in a convent, and she's praying, and what happens? Jesus begins to speak to her, but in two different ways. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of mystical theology tonight. Wow. Okay. By means of interior locutions as well as exterior visions. Okay, those two. Interior locutions and exterior visions. What's the difference? Well, an interior locution is Jesus is speaking interiorly to your heart. And if you people have done the spiritual exercises with me, you know what I'm talking about. Hello? You know what I'm talking about. Because you've done your holy hour, and now you're living in what is called the state of grace. John of the Cross calls it the illuminative way. Most of you are in the illuminative way. You haven't arrived at the unitive way yet. But the illuminative way is you're getting a lot of lights and a lot of inspirations in which God is speaking to your heart. If you're in silence, as Hosea says, I will take her out to the desert and speak to her heart. Okay? So, she got permission from her superior to spend her free time to go up in her room and to write down these inner locutions. But it was not simply the inner locutions, but also exterior visions. For example, if you have the Divine Mercy image in your church as well as in your homes, that was the fruit of an exterior vision. Okay? An exterior vision, where Jesus actually appeared outside. She saw her Jesus with her eyes. And then she told the famous painter to paint it. So we have the Divine Mercy image. So that would be an exterior vision. Whereas the locution is an inner voice. It's the inner voice of God speaking. Now this book is attributed to an Irish Benedictine monk. Okay? An Irish Benedictine monk who in his monastery, he didn't always live a very good life, but the Lord chose him to be the means by which this book was written. And it's almost the same as the way the Diary of St. Faustine is written. It's almost the same. In which you're going to see the day of the year, the liturgical feast, and then he writes. Different than the Diary of St. Faustina, most of the entries of the Diary of St. Faustina are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 paragraphs. Whereas the entries of this is sometimes 2 pages. But it's very dense. And if you're struggling to do your holy hour, and we all struggle at times, you could actually use that. You could use that for your holy hour. I've already read it once, and I'm reading it a second time because it's really enriched me as a priest. Okay, you hear me? So that's another. I'm talking everything I'm doing. I'm talking about the Mass, but in somewhat of an indirect way, because that book, what does it do? It exalts the Mass. It praises the Eucharist, and it speaks to the priest, and he's the one that celebrates the Mass, and he's the one that confesses the Eucharist. Amen? Amen? All right. So, today, the focus of my talk today is this. how can all of us make better communions? That's going to be my talk tonight, okay? How can we make better communions? I celebrate the Mass every day, and you've seen me over the past 6 months. I think I celebrate a very reverential Mass. I think I do. Do I? At least I'm trying, okay? At least I'm trying. I try to celebrate a very reverential Mass. I try. I try to make a fervent communion. After I receive communion, I sit down with you good people for about 10 minutes. Do you like that? Okay. I do that not because I'm taking a siesta or anything like that, no? Those are the 10 most important minutes in my day. And I'm aware, I do that for two reasons. One is because I've got our Lord within my heart, and I want to talk to Him. Those are the most precious minutes in my day. Another reason why I do it? To give you good example. Yes. To give you good example. Because you're looking at me. You really shouldn't be. You should be closing your hearts and talking to Jesus. But I know, there you are looking at Father Boone. Poor guy, you had a long day, huh? But I'm trying to give good example. So what I'm doing, you try to imitate me. And also, I'm making my thanksgiving. I said in an earlier talk, the two most important things we can do in our lives are to receive communion and receive absolution. Amen? Those are the two most important things we can do in our life. To receive communion, which is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, and to receive absolution, which is the forgiveness of Christ. All the other actions we do are great if they're done, moved by the Holy Spirit. But those two actions are Opus Dei. That's Latin for, that's the work of God. That's God working in you directly. I give you a blessing at the end of the Mass. I bless your crucifix. We say the rosary. Those are sacramentals. But the Eucharist and confession are sacraments. And those are direct encounters with Christ. You hear me? All right. That being said, I'd like to reiterate once again a key sacramental theological concept. And it's this. The graces that you receive, especially in the Eucharist as well as in confession, are in direct proportion and commensurate with your disposition. So the better the disposition, the better the disposition, the more abundant the grace is. I said it once and I'll say it again. If there's not an enhancement in grace in your soul, the fault is not in the sacrament, but in the recipient of the sacrament. Fault is not in the sacrament, but in the recipient and his disposition. Because, my friends, the sacrament is God. The sacrament is God. So what am I saying now? It's in perfect harmony for the feast day we celebrate today. We celebrate St. Martha as well as Lazarus and Mary. When we say Martha, we often hear Jesus gently upbraiding her, Martha, Martha, Martha. However, Martha also practiced hospitality. Hospitality is a virtue. Hospitality is a virtue. Let me tell you a personal anecdote in my upbringing. I was brought up in New York and New Jersey with what is called, maybe you Californians don't know what this is, but I'll explain the terminology. I was brought up with what is called the English etiquette. Okay? Now, a lot of you probably don't even know what that is, no? What is the English etiquette? It's this. We, the Broom family, we didn't have too many guests. You know why? Because having a guest was a real big deal. And I hated it. Because if guests were coming on Sunday, guess what we had to do on Saturday? Man, we had to clean the garage. We had to clean outside. We had to sweep the rugs. We had to clean the bathroom. I even had to take a bath, which was usually a monthly activity for me, no? It was a big deal. And when the guests came in, my mom and dad had hors d'oeuvres. They had a nice wine there, a little bit of cheese, some nice, you know, background music, and we were little kids, we couldn't open up our mouths. And just the hors d'oeuvres and the pleasant conversation, that took an hour. That took an hour. And we sat down to eat, and it was a long meal. So the whole episode was a whole day of preparation and entertaining the guests. 3 to 4 hours. The only thing I liked was that afterward, if there were leftovers, we could eat them. But I like to use that as an analogy for, well, the way the Broom family would receive the guests, we should receive Jesus even better, right? Understand? I was brought up with English etiquette. You know, it basically doesn't exist anymore, but that was the manners that I was brought up and raised with. No? And my parents imposed that upon us. Seeing a guest was like receiving Jesus into the home. They were creating manners, which are lost today. So we should have church. We should have church manners, right? As we have manners the way we treat other people, we should have manners the way we should have church manners, liturgical manners. All right. That being said, so I'm going to talk about how we can upgrade our communions. Because as I said earlier, there's no greater action in our lives than receiving absolution and receiving communion. Often when I speak, I'll use examples in the lives of the saints. The lives of the saints. There are models. Okay, the saint I'm going to mention now, I honestly don't know too much about his life, but the little I know about his life and this one anecdote or part of his life sets the stage for the whole presentation. And the name of this saint, probably most of you have never heard of him, his name is Saint Charbel Maclouf. You probably, have any of you heard of him? Okay, Saint Charbel Maclouf, I think is the way you pronounce his last name. Maclouf. He was brought up and raised in Lebanon. You know, there is what is called the Eastern Rite as well as the Western Rite in the church. We belong to the Western Rite called the Latin Rite, but the Eastern Rite, John Paul II says the church breathes with two different lungs. The Western Church would be the Latin Church. Eastern Church is another one of the lungs, but they're two different rites. It's like, Larry will like this, you've got the National League in baseball and the American League, okay? But it's still Major League Baseball, right? So, Saint Charbel Maclouf was a Maronite monk. And he was a contemplative. He's a contemplative. For example, I am a contemplative in action. I have a contemplative life, and all my life flows from that. But also, I'm very active at times. I'm very active at times. But I have a contemplative life. That's number one. Whereas you have monks like Trappists, Camaldolese, some Carmelites, the Carmelites down the street, right? That they are strict contemplatives. So they don't leave the convent unless they're given permission. So he was a Maronite monk, and he asked permission from his superior to celebrate Mass at 12 noon. 12 noon. I know what you're thinking. Well, that guy's a lazy guy. He just wanted to sleep in. It wasn't that. Not because he wanted to sleep in, but rather, he wanted to celebrate Mass at 12 noon such that he could spend the whole morning preparing for Mass. And he celebrated the Mass when the sun was highest in the sky. Then he spent the whole afternoon and evening in thanksgiving for the Mass. What do you think about that? The whole morning was in preparation for the Mass. And the whole afternoon after Mass was in thanksgiving for the Mass. That's a model for us. Not that we can do that perfectly. But when I am making my holy hour, and I'm coming here at about 5:45 every morning, that holy hour I'm making, and it's about an hour and a half, is a preparation for my Mass, for my two Masses. So I'm spending a good, close to 2 hours before Mass, preparing for the Mass. Then after Mass, Thanksgiving. All right. That being said, how can we derive a lot of fruits from the Mass? When I celebrate a Mass in the parish, this is Mass I celebrate here is basically it's a free Mass. There's no real intention because there's not a Mass here at 7 o'clock. Unless I come. But in most churches, we have four Masses every day, daily Masses. You have people that go into the office, often 6 months beforehand, and they want a Mass offered for their intention. So, there is a primary intention in the Mass. in the context of the parish. All right. So if you ask for that Mass, then the priest mentions your name, your intention. That Mass is offered directly for you and your intention. And there's special graces when you have a Mass offered. Okay, you have children. Some of you have younger children, some of you have grandchildren, some of you have adult children. You know what you should do for your children? Maybe your children 14, 8 years old, every time they celebrate their birthday, offer Mass for them. Hello? And what greater gift? And your teenage daughter, wow, did you hear? They mentioned my name. I'm important. Well, you shouldn't worry about hearing your name, because your name is being heard in heaven among the angels, and that's what's most important. Yes? Amen? So offering a Mass for someone is, there's really, what can be greater than offering a Mass for someone? There is something greater, offering two Masses for that person. Or a Gregorian Mass, right? But offering Mass for someone is really the greatest thing in the world. That's why I said the other day, I don't like when people say, how much is that Mass? Because you go to the office and you give a donation. I understand where they're going, but I don't like it, because one Mass is worth more than the whole created universe. Okay? So how much is that Mass worth? It's the blood of Christ. It's worth more than the whole created universe. Okay. So, one way in which you can improve your Mass and Communion is by means of doing this. Years ago, my mother was teaching confirmation in Massachusetts. This is probably about 1975, many years ago. And she was teaching a very upper scale children, actually in the home. That's where they were teaching. And one of the teenage girls was maybe about 14. She said, Mrs. Broom, I don't get anything out of Mass. You know what my mom said? You don't get anything in the Mass because you don't bring anything to Mass. Amen, huh? And that shut the girl down. She said, wow, I never thought about that. You go to a birthday party, you come and say, where's the cake? No, you got to bring a gift. So I like my mom's response, and that's basically where I'm heading in the whole talk. Often we don't get anything out of Mass because we don't bring anything to Mass. And I didn't mention this yesterday, but also I never get tired of promoting seeing the movie Il Gran Milagro. Have you seen it? Il Gran Milagro. Translated in English, The Greatest Miracle. If you haven't seen it, please see it. And see it with your kids. See it with your kids. What I do every year, because I'm always the head of the catechetical program in Spanish, I will always end the year by having a retreat. What will I do? I give the kids, go with the catechist, I take the parents, I give a talk on Mass, give them a little snack, then I bring the kids in with the mom and dad, and we see the movie Il Gran Milagro. And after that, I expose the Blessed Sacrament for 45 minutes, we pray the rosary, we worship the Eucharist. Then after that, I celebrate the Mass. It's a retreat that lasts about 4.5 hours. Amen? And it's all focused on the Eucharist. So those kids and the parents, if they pay attention, that will leave an indelible mark on the whole family. If they're open. If they're open. And it's all focused on the Mass and the Eucharist. You cannot see that movie with an open heart without being impressed by the Mass. It's claymation. The clay characters, beautiful music, and it explains the Mass. It explains the Mass part after part after part after part, taken from Catalina Rivas, okay, which is a Hispanic mystic. Okay, now, I have my intention. Now you should have your own intentions. You hear me? I have my intention, you should have your own intentions. I would wager that probably most of you, when you come into Mass, that never even occurred to you. So starting tomorrow, it will. So even starting tomorrow, your communions are going to be better because of the talk I gave you today. Say, thank you, Father. You're welcome. Okay. You're welcome. You're not going to get anything if you don't bring anything. Bring as much as you can. Sometimes, my friends, I have so many intentions, I think that the altar is going to cave in. I think the altar is going to cave in. You can place on that altar as many intentions as you want. I'll give you an example of one of my intentions. More and more understanding the whole idea of the priesthood from Fulton Sheen, the whole idea of the priest as a victim, is more and more, this is what I offer. I spend many hours in the confessional. So all the people that come to confession, I place them on the altar. All those going back to Argentina in 1986 when I was ordained a priest, up to the present time, then I'll place until I die, all those people who will come to confession to me, I place them on the altar so that the blood of Christ will wash away your sins. Will wash away your sins and repair for your sins. So my idea is I try to give a small penance, then I do the rest. I do the rest. The cure of ours will do that. I do the rest. When I'm saying I do the rest, really Christ is the one that's doing, but he's using me as a priest. Think about that. How many graces I'll offer to you also for prevention of future sins? So that means if I offer that intention, the temptations that would have overcome you, you're not going to commit that sin. You're not going to commit that sin because of the blood of Christ. So more and more myself as a priest, as I get older, I'm tapping in to the infinite reservoir of graces that comes from every Mass. Every Mass has infinite value. One Mass, one drop of the blood of Christ is sufficient to save the whole world a million times. And I'm not using hyperbole or exaggerating. So that I'll do when I'm celebrating my Mass. Another tension I'll have is this. Jesus said to St. Faustina, to ask with bold confidence. With bold confidence. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open. This is another intention I have. Okay, I celebrate Mass. Lord, in this Mass, I beg you, as a result of this Mass, that 1 million souls will be saved. Hello? I say, okay, Lord, I beg you, you said, ask with bold confidence. You, Lord, you said it. Lord, you said, ask and receive, seek and you'll find, knock and be open. I'm simply following what you told me to do, Lord. I'm going to be bold. You know what often I hear in a locution, Lord, 1 million souls? I hear the Lord saying, why are you asking for so little? Ask for more. What would happen if all people, all Catholics did that? The whole world would be saved. Right? If all Catholics, 1.2 billion Catholics would do that, the whole world would be saved. And it's saved by the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Then I'll say, Lord, okay, Lord, please, from this Mass, Lord, I beg you, empty purgatory. Can I do that? Am I asking for too much? Well, the Lord said, ask and you receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. Then for myself, I say, Lord, I love you. Grant me the grace to love you more than I've ever loved you before. Why not? Lord, I love you, but my love is not as strong as it should be. Allow your love present in the Eucharist to give me an atomic bomb explosion of love. Why not? Why not? My friends, we receive little because we ask for little. We come in, and we say, the only thing we say is, Lord, my little cat is lost. Please help me to find him. It's the only thing we ask for. Lord, in the morning those parakeets make a lot of noise. Tell them to be a little bit more quiet, okay? So we ask for little, we also end up by receiving little. So when you're making your intentions, you can load that altar with so many intentions, and the altar is not going to cave in. It's not going to cave in. Because the holy angels sustain those intentions. Amen? All right. Among the many, many intentions, I would like to suggest that you, every Mass, you at least have three. But you can offer as many as you want. But I'd like to mention three. And the first is praying, offering your Mass and your communion for a soul in purgatory. Do that. When I entered into 1974, I entered into St. Thomas of Villanova Church in Philadelphia, where I studied. You got the campus, but then also you have a beautiful church, St. Thomas of Villanova University on Lancaster Avenue. What caught my eye first was a saint celebrating a Mass. Have any of you ever heard of St. Nicholas of Tolentino? Okay, now you have, okay? St. Nicholas of Tolentino. He was an Augustinian priest who became a priest because he wanted to help the souls get out of purgatory. So in a beautiful mural and the Church of St. Thomas of Villanova, they may not have it because it's been so many years. You see this priest, he's bent over celebrating Mass. He's consecrating. And you see these angels that are descending into purgatory. And you see these angels taking these souls from purgatory up to heaven. Now in the movie Il Gran Milagro, if you saw it, there's another scene, there's a scene that parallel to it, where you got the older woman, her name is Doña Cata, Catalina, the older Mujer Canosa, right? She goes up to receive Holy Communion, and the guardian angel says she has a very pure soul. She's very holy. And the guardian angel is going up with her. By the way, you don't want to make good communions? Ask your guardian angel to be with you in the whole Mass to help you to pay attention in the Mass. Do that starting tomorrow, okay? And if you're distracted, ask your guardian angel to do this. Okay? If you're distracted, okay? When the woman goes up and she receives communion, you see the floor opened up and you see the souls in purgatory. What are they doing? Looks like they're swimming, but they're going nowhere fast. She receives communion and the guardian angel takes the soul and the soul goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up to the very top of the church and goes through the church to heaven. You want, every time you go to Mass, you want to bring at least one, but ask for more. The souls to pass from purgatory to heaven, and they'll never forget you until you get to heaven. They'll be eternally grateful to you because you are the instrument that God used to get them into heaven. They will be praying for you in heaven to help you to make it to your eternal destiny. So, when you're coming to Mass tomorrow, have in your mind someone that passed away and offer your communion for that person. Amen? Okay, the second. How many of you have relatives, sons or daughters or maybe grandchildren that have walked away from the church? That looks like almost all of you. Almost all of you. Have you invited them to come back? Have you? More than once? More than twice? Okay. You've done your part. You've invited them to come back. You've invited them three times and maybe 50 times. No? Okay, you've done that. Now you've talked to them about God. Now talk to God about them. Okay? You hear me? You talked to them about God, but they couldn't hear it. Now talk to God about them. Because if we just talk to them about God, they become deaf. Did you hear me? You didn't hear me, okay. You heard me. Okay. They purposely don't want to hear. But if you talk to God about them in the Mass, then the precious blood of Christ, like a gentle dewfall, descends upon their mind and their hearts, making them more receptive. It may not be done overnight, but the best thing you can do for your wandering sheep is to pray for them, but especially to offer masses for them and offer your communions for them. Who is the best example we have? You know who it is. Saint Monica, right? Saint Monica. How old was Saint Augustine when he was converted? 31. 31 years. And then his mother, she wept, she fasted, she prayed, she suffered, she talked with priests, she talked with Saint Ambrose, and finally, her son was converted. So all of you have your hearts that are very heavy because your children have walked away from God. Now you might even be tricky, astute. Mother's Day has passed, so is Father's Day. But what about your birthday? Can your son or daughter who has walked away from the church, and your 25-year-old son says, Mom, next week is your birthday. It's your birthday. What would you like? Would you like me to buy a chocolate cake? Okay? Or I can maybe buy you flowers. Or I can take you to an elegant restaurant in Southern California, Pollo Loco. I'll take you there. And you say, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks. Well, Mom, what do you want? What do you want? Just something very simple. I want you to go to confession and receive communion for me on my birthday. Amen? Hey, try it. And what you might do is this. If your son says no, maybe you can break down in tears, at least fake it. Start sobbing. Jesus says we have to be as simple as doves and crafty as serpents, right? Yes. Put a guilt trip on them, right? So that's the second intention. Now the third intention is this. We all of us, we struggle with our own devils. We all struggle with our own devils. We all struggle with our own weaknesses. We all struggle with our own sinful tendencies. We're all sinners. And even though we're baptized, we go to confession, we go to communion, we make our holy hour, we still are sinners. And we still struggle on a daily basis. What is the best way for us to overcome our sinful tendencies? Nothing greater in the whole world than to go to Mass and to receive Holy Communion. Nothing greater. Nothing greater. I like to compare Holy Communion with this. I call Holy Communion, my friends, is a spiritual heart transplant. Amen? It's a spiritual heart transplant. Because when you receive Holy Communion, you receive the total Christ. You receive His body, His blood, His soul, His divinity. You receive the total Christ. So, every time you receive Holy Communion, you have a mind transplant. As St. Paul says, put on the mind of Christ. Then St. Paul says, you have the mind of Christ. But also, you receive His Sacred Heart. You have the Sacred Heart of Jesus beating in the depths of your own heart every time you receive Holy Communion. So think about your biggest weakness. Is it gluttony? Is it lust? Is it laziness? Is it impatience? Is it greed? Is it anger? Is it envy? Is it sloth? Some of you are saying, Father, I got all of those, okay? Well, there's going to be a predominant one. Think about your predominant weakness. Say, for example, you're impatient. You're impatient. You receive Holy Communion? Remember when Jesus carried the cross? Was He patient? Think about Jesus carrying the cross, falling and getting up, falling and getting up, being crucified, and then He says, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. So your primary weakness can become your greatest strength if you receive Holy Communion with love. So my friends, that's our message tonight. Let's pray for the grace, my friends, to receive communion with great love. And that convent right down the street, the Sacred Heart Nuns in the sacristy, they've got a plaque. And on the plaque, they've got a little message for the priest. And it says, priest, man of God, celebrate the Mass as if it were your first Mass. Celebrate the Mass as if it were your last Mass. Celebrate the Mass as if it were your only Mass. Let's turn the tables. You lay people, when you receive communion as if it were your first communion, your last communion, and your only communion. Amen. Let's ask the Blessed Mother to help us to make more fervent and fiery communions to help us to become saints and to get to heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. The intercession of Saint Charbel Maclouf, Saint Therese, and Saint Ignatius Loyola. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless, and see you tomorrow.